Okay, I go nervous. We have phenomenal information today, depending on one thing, depending that you don't spoil it. Don't be that guy today, okay? Don't be that guy. Oh, I understand where you're going. Good, that's what you're supposed to. Just don't spoil it for everybody else. Okay. Okay, if you do, you officially will not receive shachmanis, but not only not from me, not from anybody. I will, no. Okay, for everyone, welcome all everybody listening on J-Root Radio. I want to welcome everyone watching on TorahAnytime.com. I want to watch the thousands and thousands of holy neshamas that are listening here in Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills. Okay, it's only a few people, but it's okay. Marv Rabbeisai, here we go. Megillah Esther. V'hamelech shav migina atabison obeis mishtei hayayin. V'haman noifel. Haman noifel. What does noifel mean? What does noifel mean? Falling. Present tense. Doesn't say v'haman noifel. Falling. Ala mita asher Esther aleha. On the bed that Esther was upon her. Okay, what does that mean? V'ayomer hamelech hagam. L'chboish es hamalko yini baboyis. Hadavar, yatzam pi hamelech, pnei haman, chafu, fine. Says in Mar Megillah, daf tezayinam and aleph, v'haman noifel amita, noifel, nafal mi boile, it says falling, it should say he fell. Amar lezer melamed sheba malach, v'hipilo aleha. Haman was standing there, like a tzaddik, like a chassid, like a yashar, like a neman, like a parash. Haman with machshavos tahiros, and a malach came. You hear this, Maisa? A malach came and pushed him. Yeah, you know, it's like the guy. He's, you know, he's convicted of a crime. He says, "What? I tried not to do it. I really didn't want to. I was standing there. I was having machshavos. I was actually being mizboinen and mizboided at the same time. And a malach came and pushed me on. But that's what happened to Haman." Comes the Chida. I didn't even realize I have this from the Chida. The Chida wrote a commentary on Megillas Esther called Nachal Eshkoel. And the Chida asks a very interesting question. Why did the Malach make this happen? I mean, here Haman, yeah, he's a Rasha, but right now he's just pleading for his life. He has no Kavana to be Mezana with Esther. That's the further thing. He's not a complete Shoyta Shaba Olam. Why would he do that in the palace? I mean, come on. And the Malach comes on no intention on his behalf and shoves him into her. Why would the Malach do that? Ask the Chida. V'yesh lachkar shehaman likivim lezeh ve'echba Malach v'hipilai ad levay chamas hamelach hagam lichvosh v'aloi zeh sheker ve'echa Malach osakein. Everybody knows Malachim are honest. They're honest beings. Why would they do something like that? Now, the Chida says, v'ha-pashat azeh, the pashat shad is, that's the kash of the Halakha Chida. Number three, v'ha-pashat azeh, the simple interpretation, the aminam ba'alma, we say in general, hu asta shaloi kahagen, afanu naski mai shaloi kahagen. There's a rule in life, you get what you dish out. Uv'yoyis haman m'chuyiv kamrevois misas avanois avanois avoisav. The guy is chayiv, a million different death penalties. Are you serious? That's what you're asking? He does deserve it. There are enough things that he did wrong in his lifetime that we could chop him and make him do something that he didn't do. And another thing, the Malach didn't say sheker. It's not like the Malach told Ahasuerus he's trying to be koivesh, the queen. He just pushed her. And that's what Ahasuerus thought. So it's tos akum, you know? Toss akum is mutter. You know, the halacha is that you're not a chas v'sham, you're not a steal from a guy. Toss akum has different parameters. Of course, we try to make a kiddush Hashem. And then the Chida brings something very interesting. Chida says, Amna matzasi, we find there's a medrash that the Manu Talevi quotes, a very interesting medrash. And the Medrash says that when Haman was talking to his Oyavav, Vayomeru lo yichacham v'zera shista or that the oyavim and Zeresh was talking to Haman, and you know what Haman tells them? He told them the most ridiculous thing you ever heard in your life. He said, "You should know." The Medrash says that Haman said one of the most nonsensical things you'll ever hear. That he tells his wife, Chacham from the man of sound in the sky. He's like, "You should know, Rebbetzin," he says to her, "that if I would make an advance to Esther, she would go for it right away." That's what the Medrash says. What was he talking about? What's he saying? He says, the Medrash says, "Shema Yishayel Me'Esther, he mitzvahs glashos of Rav Manus Levi," in the pasuk, "Afla hivia Esther." You know why Haman says, "Afla hivia Esther Amalka"? I'm the only one Esther invited. You know why? That's what he tells his wife. Yeah. Omamela Nira. So the pshat is like this. That means in his mind, he's having machshavas rois with Esther. By Goyim, Hashem is machashev machshava l'maisa. So Hashem says, "Oh, you had the machshava? We're going to nail you for the maisa now." Omamela Nira, the Begoyim, machshava rom, the Terevis, the maisa. Chim b'malach, the hipila kedin. Now it's interesting. Pnei Haman chafu, says Chida. The gematria of Haman, what's the gematria of Haman? 95 is the same as Chafu in Makoilal. That's what it means. Pnei Haman Chafu, that means Nemar L'shmoy. Okay. But be it as it may, Rabbeisai, there are two things we want to speak at. Number one, the question we asked, that the Chida asked, that why would the Malach make something happen to him that's Sheker? Why would he push her him if that was not his Kavana, that was not his intention? So the Chida says, in his machshavas. Okay, that's the answer. The Chida, we're going to explore another answer. Number two, why is Haman saying this ridiculous thing and telling his wife, you know, if I would be Toivea Esther, she would go for it. Well, what's that all about? So it's very interesting. This past Parshas, Lech Lecha, had the privilege to speak in London. So I got there on a Wednesday evening. And then Thursday afternoon, the privilege to go to Manchester. And in Manchester, I went to my host, was a very chashuv yid, Reb Pinchas Brandeis. And with tremendous hospitality, he welcomed me. And he says, "Rabbi, you have to see this unbelievable sefer." "What is this?" He shows me the sefer is Lechem Lefi Ataf. I have to say, I never heard of it. And he said, "This was written by Reb Yitzchak Chai Bukhvaza." Okay. And then he showed me an incredible thing about Haman, which I totally forgot about. But luckily, I was cleaning off my night table, which has way too many svarim on it. And I remembered, oh, there's an amazing thing about Haman in there. So here we have it. Okay. So, by the way, on the way back from Manchester, we took a train. And halfway through the train ride, the train broke down. And we're stranded there. In between Manchester and London, somebody had jumped onto the train, and the train had, you remember what happened to Haman? Well, that's what happened to the person. So we were stuck on the train, but that's a story for a different time. Okay, so look at number four. Rabbi Lazar Migarmaiza. This is the Sefer Lechem Lefiata. In the Sefer Shari Bina, quoted by the Manas HaLevi, quoted by the Chida, that Haman says to his Oyavim that if he would be Toivea Esther, he would go with it. Says the Lechem Lefiatav, Rochelik Menaseichel. Very far fetched. Me Gevra Shayitin Einabe Ishtat HaMelech. First of all, who's going to put their eye on the wife of the king? Davra Sher Ba'ada Yasim Nefesh V'chapay. You're jeopardizing your life. Haman's going around saying that if he would be Toivea Esther, we're Meshugana. He's the king's wife. The king will kill you. If he thinks you're even thinking, I'll kill you. What did Haman see in Esther that Haman thought that if he would be Toivea her, she would go with it? Oh, because she invited him? That's the normal protocol of the queen, to invite with the king some of the royalty and some of the officials. That implies that really she should be calling other people. and she chose him. But why did Haman, to think that if he would have been Tovei Esther, she would have gone with him? Okay, so I want to share with you an amazing thing. This comes from none other than the Arizal himself, quoted by the Sefer Lechem Lefi Hatas. There's a pasuk in Shoftim. Min ha-shamayim nilchamu, ha-koy chavim, mi-mesi'i loisam, nilchamu, im-sisra. Does anybody know where it says that? Does anybody know? Does anybody know? This is the Shira of Devorah. Very good. This is the Shira of Devorah. And it says in the Shira, very good. Mr. Heimitz, good job with him, right? What does that have to do with you? Okay. Min ha-shamayim nilchamu. From the heavens, they waged war. Hakoy chavim imasiloisam, the stars on their path. Nilchamu im sisra. Says the Heilig Arizal, hakoy chavim, the stars, imasiloisam, from their path. Nilchamu, Rashi Tevois. Haman. Haman, what's Haman doing there in Shiras Devaira? Says the Arizal that there's a man by the name of Sisra. And who vanquished Sisra? Yael. And how did she vanquish Sisra? We're going to see very soon. In Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Ches, Sisra was confounded. Who waged war against Sisra? Barak. Right? No relation to the former president of the United States. But Barak. And he waged war against Sisra. And Sisra ran. Vayanos Baraglav. And Barak ran after him. And all the camp of Sisra was vanquished with Picharev. Nobody was left. The Sisra Nos Baraglav. El Oihel Yael. Eshes Chever Hakeni. He ran to Yael's tent. And we're going to see what happened there. Says the Arizal on the Shar HaGulgulim, Ki gam hu haya nasan b'klipas Sisra. Haman was placed in the shell of Sisra. Ki Haman, the Sisra, shneyam hem b'kar echarim. Haman and Sisra were from one source. Ki shneyam hem b'klipas hadas. V'noida, it's known Rav Shon Bar Shilas, was Misharish Kayan. This is the site of HaKoy Chavim, Mi Mesil Oysam, Nilchamu, Rashi Tevois, Haman! So there's a sefer, Minchas Elio, Rav Elio HaKoyin of Izmir, the Baal Shevet Musar. It says in the Shiras Devaira, that what did Sisra ask for? This is Perek Hei Pasuk Chaf Ches. It says like this. It says, Chaf Hei, excuse me. It says, Mayim Shoal, he asked for water. Chalav Nasana, she gave milk. B'seif al Adirim, in a stately saucer. Hikriva Chema, she brought cream. What did she give him to drink? Water, milk. Says Minchas Eliyahu, why did Esther put an end to Haman through Mishtei Hayayin? Based on the Arizal, Esther was a nitzot of Yael. Haman was a nitzot of Sisra. Therefore, what comes around goes around. The first time she got him with the beverage. This time she says, you know, we're going to try something different. Mayim, Chalav, this time we're going for the real deal. We're going with the Yayin. But she repeated the same tactic. Like the Pasuk says, Mayim Shoal, Chalav Nasana. And she got him drunk, and she killed him. So too, Hashem was Magalgal, that Esther would bring about the demise of Haman through Mishtei Hayayin. Why is there a mitzvah Chayv Adam LeBesume B'Puraya? Because the miracle happened through wine. What miracle? The downfall of Haman, which was a repetition of the downfall of Sisra. Let's take a look at some of these psukim. Vateitze Yael Likras Sisra Vatoimer Elav. She says to him, Surah Adoini, Surah Eli, Al Tirah, don't worry. All your worries will be allayed very soon. Very soon, you have nothing to worry about. Vayasar Eli, so he turns to her. Bat Chasei, Bat Samicha. So she covers him in the smicha. What does that mean? In the blanket. I want a drink. Drink, a bicycle. Drink as much as you want. And he said to her, stand by the entrance of the tent. And this way, if anybody comes and says, where is Sisera? You're going to say, I don't know. So what did she do? She takes the stick. She comes stealthily and she gently plunges the peg into his temple. Vatitznach va'aretz. And what happened to him? And it went through into the ground. She did a pretty good job. That means she got the peg from one side of his temple all the way through his brain, and it went into the ground. V'hu nirdam! And he dozed off. Vayav, he fainted. Vayamos. That was the end of him. Yeah. So that was, he really slept well that night. What? Yeah, the Gemara says elsewhere it was Aver Lishma. Yeah. Yada. Yeah, the puzzle. Yada la yasei tishlachna. This is the Shira Dvara. Yada la yasei tishlachna. Vimina la halmosa melim. What does that mean? She sent forth her hand to the peg. Vimina, in her right hand. Her right hand, what did she do? Lahalmos amelam, to the laborer's hammer. What did she do to her head? Machak, thank you. Machak arosh, she shattered her head. Umachatza v'chofa rakasa, and smashed and pierced his temple. Now what happens? Look at this. Bein ragleha, at her feet, he knelt to have relations. Kara, he knelt. Nafal, he fell. Shav, he slept. Ben Ragla, Kara, Nafal, but Kasher. Kara, when he knelt, Sham Nafal Shadda. Says the Sefer Lechem Mufiata. Haman is a number 12. Haman is a nitzitz of Sisera. And Esther was a Gilgal of Yael, Ishus Chavra Akeni. And just like Sisera fell in the hands of Yael, Haman too fell beyond Esther. This is the meaning, HaKoychavim, Memesilasam, Milchamu, is Rashi Tevois, Haman. And this is what the Minchas Eliyahu quotes, and that is why Esther invited him to the party, to repeat the tactic that works the first time. As they say in life, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. If you're able to vanquish evil enemies by putting them to sleep with a beverage and then smashing their brains, then if it works, it works. You know, there's no reason to come up with another mahalach. Therefore, says the Lechem Lefiata, let's take the letters of Sisera. Sisera ends with a Resh and an Aleph. What's the gematria of Resh Aleph? What's the gematria of Haman B'Miloy? Hey. 201. Haman Heyod 15. Mem Mem 80. Nun Vav Nun 106. 106 and 80 is 186 and 11 and 1 second, 156 and let's see if this makes any sense. So Reish Aleph is 201 and Haman B'Miloy is what? Nun is 106, 80, 186 and 15. Perfect is 201. To be Merames, that the end of Sisera. What's the end of Sisera? The Reish Aleph. The end of Sisera is going to be Niskalgal as Haman, and he is going to get what Sisera deserved. So then he says something very interesting. Rabbi Yisai, now we know, the Gemara wants to know, why does it say Haman was falling? It should say he fell. So the Gemara says a malach came and he pushed him. And the Chida wants to know, poor guy, that wasn't his kavana. Why would the malach do this to him? Says the Lechem Lefi Ataf, according to what we just learned, it's beautiful. Don't you tell me he didn't have this in mind. Not only did he have this in mind, he did it! When? Sisera. Sisera, like we mentioned, tried to have relations with Yael, according to Gemara. He did. Therefore, Begilgo Rishain, where it says, Bein Raglea Kara Nafal. Therefore, Gam Ata, the Malach, pushed him, Limtsai Avoinoi Harishain. Therefore, he says, you could say, aside from the drash of Chazal, V'haman Noifel, not that he fell now, Mechadash. Nafal would be, he fell now. Noifel means, he's been doing this a long time already. This is his practice. Really? Since when? The Sisera guy, since Sisera. He already fell the first time around. This is Marumas in the Pasuk. Listen carefully. Alamita Sher Esther Aleha. Aleha is Oisiois. Ya'ela. It's Ya'el, but her name is Ya'el. There's a Ya'el. The same as an Ayal and an Ayala. There's also a Ya'el and a Ya'ala. Like the Medak say in the Pasuk, Ayala Sahavim V'Ya'ala Chen. Ya'ala Shalchen. So there's something called a Ya'ala. Baratzaloymer. Hama Noifel. And he's in the same place. You know where he is? On the bed Asher Esther. Ya'ala. See, you know who Esther is. Esther's not Ola. Esther is the girl of Ya'ala. Fine. Now you can say like this. No, this is the Lechem Lefi Hataf based on the Ariza. Based on the... Okay, my rabbi said one last thing. And Haman says, Hagam l'chvosh esamalka imi babayis. What's the gematria of Hamalka? Almost. No. Hamalka is 100. With the Yud is 110. So we mean with the Yud, but it doesn't say a Yud. But let's say, theoretically, if it would say a Yud, what would it be? 110. Watch this. So the king says, Hagam lichwiz malka imi babayis. Hamalka im Yud. Listen to this. The Efshir Lefarish HaPasuk Vayimram HaChagam. The word Hamalka is 100. With Yod, it's 110. Who's 110? Ya'el. Ya'el is 110. So this is... Hagam Lichur says, Hamalka imi. Hamalka im Yod. Hamalka im Yod. Kari bei im Yod bebayis. Meaning, you're going to live with the Malka Imi? It's not enough you do the Yael the first time, you're going to do it again? Bad enough you did it privately, a sister on the middle, nobody knew about it. Now you can do it in the palace with Yael? Ah. My rabbi say, this answers the question that the Rav Lezer Migar Maisa says that Haman tells his wife, by the way, if I beat Tevea Esther, she'd go with it. How does he know? How does he know? Past experience, he knows. Not only that, that's why, you know, he figures he ain't coming for a milk party, you know? He knew one thing, he's not coming to have chocolate milk with Esther. He knew it's not going to end well. But if he avoids the milk and the cheese, you know, this time he hears Yayin. He says, Baruch Hashem, it's only Yayin. He has no bad experiences with wine. So says, why would he say, well, how would he know? Why would he boast about the fact that if he'd be Tavei as the answer is, and how did he know she would go with it? The answer is, umikana talamed shikagda, the pia amra komasukan, his mazel saw his already past experiences, and therefore he figured, you know, what comes around goes around. So, Marv Rabbeisai, this is based on some of the soidos, what that Rizal is, megala, that, as we mentioned, Haman was somehow a Gilgal of Sisera, Esther is a Gilgal of Ya'el, and, you know, as they say, history repeats itself. That's why you gotta, you know, learn from your past experiences. Rabbi, I wish everyone a good Shabbos, but I'm going to tell you a few things on the Parsha. You don't have to record that. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to tell you a few interesting things. Okay. Parsha Tetzave. So, just leave it. We'll take it after. Okay. So in Parsha Tetzave, two Nekudas in Parsha Tetzave. One from the Briskarav and one from the Netziv. Hashem tells Moshe, Ve'ata hakrev elecha. You bring Aaron HaKohen close. What do you mean, hakrev elecha? Close to you. So the Briskarav explains, right now, who is the presiding Kohen Gadol? Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe was Meshamish as a Kohen Gadol during the Yinei HaMiluim. So you're going to bring Aaron close, meaning you're going to give him your job. He's going to do what you're doing. But the question is, so what exactly is Moshe Rabbeinu's role? Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean you bring him close? Moshe is not appointing him. The Kedusha of Kahuna, any Kohanim here? Any aspiring Kohanim? No. So where does the Kedusha of Kahuna come from? Asher Kedushanu, the Kedusha of Shel Aaron. It comes from the Ribbono Shel. What's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't inject kahuna into Aaron Ubanov. So says the Briskarav, there's a Tosfos. Tosfos says, to make a Kohen Gadol, you need a Melech. The Rambam says, to make a Kohen Gadol, you need a Sanhedrin. Who is the Melech of Klal Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayhi Bishur Melech. Rambam writes, the Chatzotzrois that Moshe had were the Chatzotzrois of the Melech. Memela Moshe is investing Aaron. Why? He's the Melech, he's the Sanhedrin, and therefore he's needed to create the kahuna of Aaron. That's one thing. Next thing. Take a look in the Parsha. That's the Briskarav, not in the Chiddush HaGriz, in the Rishimos of the Talmid. Fine. Next thing. The Netziv in the Hamek Dover and the Harchiv Dover. You ready for this? Mamash Oyim Anoira. Ve'ilah ha'bgadim asher ta'asu choshen. Let's get instead of making up the pasuk, let's actually read it. Yeah, you can make up anything. You're gonna say he wore, you know, before you know, he's gonna be wearing a kapata. It says in the pasuk. They have God to him. I show you asu choishen ve'efayt umeil uchsayne tashbeit mitznefes avnet uvegdei kodesh. Hey, what's going on? He's missing a baguette. The tzitz and the mesnasayim, that's the undergarment. What's going on? So maybe we should mention it. How's he going to know to put it on? I mean, he really needs that, you know? Then later on, Pasuk Parak Mem Chavches talks about them getting dressed. And who dresses them? This is Pasuk. I think Mem Aleph. V'hilbasha oisam es Aaron nochicha v'yatsa navita yuma shachta oisam v'milisa es yadam v'kidashta oisam v'chiyanu li. So Moshe Rabbeinu dresses them. He puts on the choshen and the ephod and the meil and the mitznefes and the tzoynes. And after we made it, right, that's in the beginning of the parasha, he dresses them. Oh, wait a second! Don't forget the intervesh. You know? Don't forget the mechnasayim. Wait a second. Time out. That's the first thing that they put on. And yet the Torah doesn't even mention them. Very never. Why doesn't it mention it? That's the first thing that, even if they do put it on themselves, why doesn't the Torah mention it? Yeah, we're being recorded now. So the Netziv says that different begadim had different functions. The begadim mentioned in the beginning of the parasha, the Eileh ha-begadim asher yasu v'yasu v'gdei kodesh aroin achicha ulevanav l'chahanoi li. Those six begadim mentioned are to invest them the kahuna. At the end of the parasha, after they're ready dressed, it says, by the way, the mechnasayim are not l'chahanoili. The mechnasayim are just l'chasa yis b'sar erva. They're functional. They're not investing them the kuhana. Now, the truth is, if he doesn't have them, he's mechusa begodim. But they're not lechaonim. They have a different function. And Moshe didn't dress them. Moshe only donned them in the begodim that are lechaonim. The begodim that are just there, lechasis besar erva, they put on themselves. If they put on themselves, they could put it on outside of the kodesh. They didn't have to don it in the kodesh. The begodim that are lechaonim were designated and donned in the kodesh. Ah. The tis is something else. The tis is like the highest level of baguette, and that's mentioned. Va'asisa bigdei zahav, va'asisa tis zahav tar, ufitach dalav pituchei chaysem, kodesh Hashem. Listen to this. The Mishnah says in Masechta Sukkah that the worn out mechnasayim and the ephod, they would burn and use it for the simchas beis hashoreh. And what about the worn out other begadim? Doesn't say that. What did they use it for? Wicks for the menorah. Why did the worn out mechnasayim and ephod go to the simchas beis hashoreh and the worn out other begadim go to the menorah? The answer is, says the Nesiv, that depending on where something is used, that is how it's disposed of, like kachim. If you have basar kachim that became tameh, it needs to be burned by kodesh. Because wherever it needs to be used, b'tahara, that's where it's destroyed when it's b'tama. The same thing with worn out big day kahuna. Something that's donned by kodesh has to be disposed of by kodesh. Therefore, regular big day kahuna is disposed of through the menorah. But the mechnasayim, which were not l'chahanoili, they were l'chasis b'sar erva, they could be donned not by Moshe, but by anybody outside. They're also disposed of outside where? By the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is not by Kodesh, it's somewhere on the Harabais. Here, Rabbi says, so that's, there are two fundamental types of Bigdei Kuna. There's l'chasis b'sar erva, and there's l'chanoili. The l'chanoili had to be done by Moshe. The l'chasis b'sar erva, they could do it themselves. And they're also disposed of differently. Rabbi, have an amazing Shabbos. Shkoyach.